Blog Talk Radio.
He's a man who's going to tell you like it is.
You can never be afraid of something that you don't know about. Now that's ignorance, and for us, ignorance is not bliss.
He's a man who's not afraid to talk about the real issues and not skate around it.
Don't you think it's about time that you got tired of where you are? I mean, you have got to be ready for God to do something for you and let Him move.
He's a man who loves his God, his country, and his people.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not too fond of the political state of the world, and particularly the U.S. as it is right now. But if you want change, you have to make it happen. You can't keep settling for less than what you ought to have.
He's a man who's sowing seeds of life, love, and liberation to anybody who's willing to hear.
There comes a point in time where everybody just needs to shut their mouth up and listen to God. And God is the one who will lead us, and God is in all truth. He'll tell us everything we need. That covers every area, every facet, from politics to church to you name it. God's got it covered.
He's a man that seeks the heart of God for the people of God. You're listening to Zero Out of Day with Pastor Lorenzo Neal.
Good morning and welcome to Zero Today. I'm your humble host, Dr. Lorenzo Neal, hailing from Cajun Land, USA, here to present you with seeds of insight, wisdom, empowerment, and liberation. We are promoting a knowledge that is engaging and transforming, and here to empower you, our listeners, knowing and impacting the world around you. And as always, you're welcome to join us on this illuminating journey. We are live on YouTube. We are also streaming on Blog Talk Radio. So you can join there, also on Facebook. So there are plenty of ways that you can join us. We just appreciate it all together for what you're doing. It's a wonderful day, and I hope everyone is having a wonderful day and that you will take advantage of this beautiful day. It's hot in Mississippi. It is very hot in Mississippi. It is very hot in Mississippi, but I'm glad that it's hot. But there are tropical storms just happening on the Gulf Coast in Texas and South Louisiana, and they're getting rain. And, you know, they're expecting several inches of rain over the next couple of days. So it is what it is. I'm just glad to be here and do what I do. So today I want to talk about two things in particular. I want to talk about Jerry Falwell Jr., who has come under scrutiny and fire for a number of things. And I also want to talk about, I guess, my new favorite topic for the last several months has been the one and only Kanye West and Pastor Jamal Bryant. So I want to talk about that and all that's happening. It's a lot that's happening. There's a lot going on. I do want to remind everyone that September is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. I discussed Pastor, the young minister who took his life, who had been battling with depression and mental health issues for a number of years, and was an advocate for it, and spoke in favor of advocating for people to get help. And matter of fact, the Christian Post reported that he eulogized someone who had taken their life, and after eulogizing them, he took his own life. So I just want to admonish those persons who may be struggling with depression, may be struggling with other emotional issues, especially if you are a clergy person. I strongly encourage you to seek help. Don't feel that you have to go through this alone. I know a lot of clergy persons feel isolated in personal struggles, and that isolation leads to sometimes some inappropriate behavior. And you can get help now. So I just want to encourage you, if you are in that issue, if you're having that issue, to go and get help now. You can do it. You should do it. It's all good to do so. You know, I think I need to get some wireless headphones. But anyway, I'm just looking. It's my first time really streaming, so it is what it is. As I'm a pastor, and I'm also a therapist, a counselor, and I am developing a program right now specifically for clergy. It's a combination of a counseling coaching program that's about 6 weeks and focusing on differentiation of self, emotional reactivity, emotional cutoff, fusion with others, and I position. Those are the four things that we target to help build a better you, to help you become a better, a more self-differentiated person, to better serve this present age. So we've been looking out for that. We're going to be rolling it out. But, you know, nobody knows clergy struggles like the clergy. And I know plenty of pastors and clergy who are professional counselors, psychotherapists, psychoanalysts, all that stuff, psychiatrists. So seek help. Suicide is not the should not be an option, and we don't want it to be an option for you. So, strongly encourage you to go and seek help. Also, for those who may not be clergy, but you may be wrestling with that, seek help. You know, if your pastor is not able to help you, get out, and you know, don't worry about the stigma. The stigma is going to be there. I don't know why we have black community. I don't know why we have stigma regarding mental health. We don't need to, but it's there. We can change that. Anyway, so that is my plug for today. Hold on, let me. All right, so got that out the way. So it's, again, September, Suicide Prevention. Get this mic out my way here. Prevention and Awareness Month. Do what you can to help those who may be wrestling, struggling with the issue of suicide. Anyway, so let me start off with the story of Jerry Falwell Jr. Last week, a number of outlets reported that Jerry Falwell Jr. was in a nightclub in Miami, and that you know, it looked awkward in the nightclub, and Jerry Falwell immediately responded, saying, "That's definitely him, but it may have been a photoshopped photo of him in the nightclub." And the person who took the picture came out contesting and said, "Hey, now I've been doing this photography of Miami nightlife for over 20 years, and I have a very good reputation, and I took this picture, and I had no idea who it was, but this agency approached me to purchase it, and now I found out why they purchased it, because Jerry Falwell Jr. is in the photo. It's not Photoshop." And so Jerry Falwell Jr. had to backpedal and said, "Yeah, it's me in the Photoshop. I mean, it's me in a photo, but it's not a Photoshop." And he tried to give some reason as to why he and his family were in the nightclub, you know, which contradicts the entire morality clause of Liberty University, for which he is the president. Now, here's the thing. Jerry Falwell Jr. is the son of Jerry Falwell Sr., who is the founder of the Moral Majority from the 1970s and 80s, along with Pat Robertson and some others. Jerry Falwell, if you're very familiar with Ronald Reagan and what we now know as the Christian right, the Christian evangelical right, you know, some who are ardent Trump supporters and all that. What we now know as that group was founded by Falwell and others in there. And their thing was all about family values, Christian morals, and how those contributed to how we out to vote And so a large segment of American conservative voters, including myself, were influenced by Falwell and the idea that our Christian principles are infused into our voting responsibility. So we ought to vote our principles. And I promote that as pastor. I promote that, vote your principles. And but anyway, it became very, very diluted. I mean, not diluted, that's not the word I'm looking for. Regulated to the Republican Party, and they began to take on issues such as abortion, and that's still their number one issue. Then after that, it was homosexuality and same-sex rights and all of that, which is, again, still one of the number one issues. And it did not address anything with heterosexual male issues, because, you know, men will be men, and godly men are supposed to be testosterone filled and blah, 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 yada, yada. And it still has not addressed. It's still, that movement is still not addressing what some would deem domestic terrorism brought on by largely white men. Yeah, it's still not addressing it. And they're not addressing the overwhelming sense of white nationalism that has seemed to infiltrate or infused itself with this moral majority conservative evangelical Christian movement. Now, I identify, and this is no secret, I identify center-right with some conservative leanings. And at one time, I would have lined step with Falwell and all of that. And I've learned as I've matured and I've had experiences that I've like, you know, it's best for me to just be center as best as I can and support the best candidate, whether their social ideas are not aligned with mine. I can get over that as long as they're principled. If they stick to their principles, they got my vote pretty much. But anyway, I digress. So Jerry Falwell, upon his before he passed, Falwell Sr., before he passed, he basically, in his will, stipulated that his sons would continue the ministry. And two sons in particular, Jerry Falwell Jr. and the other one, I think his name is Jimmy. So the way it was set up, Jimmy, if I'm saying his name wrong, please, I apologize. I don't have the reference in front of me, but you can go to the Christian Post or any other outlet that you can find more. Or you can just Google Jerry Falwell Jr. and find out his sibling. But basically, one son was bequeathed the church ministry there in Lynchburg, Virginia. And the other son, Jerry Falwell Jr., was bequeathed leadership of Liberty University. And the reason why he was bequeathed that is because his own father said that he had acute business skill. He was a businessman, and he ran the school like a business. Liberty University under Falwell Sr. was just a regional, you know, conservative, small Christian university. That stood out, and even though it did, even though it is a private university, it tapped into federal funds and became a major player in the Christian university circuit, and that includes Oral Roberts University, Bob Jones University, Moody Bible College, Grand Canyon University, Azusa Pacific, and all these other religious schools. And I would include Harvard in that, because technically Harvard was a religious school, technically, you know. The same with Princeton. These schools were started by faith communities, and so technically they are religious school. But anyway, this is within the modern history. Oral Roberts, Bob Jones University, and Liberty University were pretty prominent schools. And Jerry Falwell Jr. took Liberty University from a small regional school to a major powerhouse across the board. I mean, dominating in athletics, dominating academically, and very much dominating in the social political sphere. Matter of fact, Liberty University is known for programming their students to be very conservative. Even if they don't go there conservative, they leave there conservative for the most part. But anyway, he grew that school, and you know they now have thousands of members of students across the globe because they have a very fruitful online program and a number of degrees and all that stuff. So they're doing well. But the problem was Jerry Falwell Jr. Ruled with an iron fist. And I may be saying a little bit more, but you know, in recently leaked emails, it's discovered that he's not as humble as he proclaims himself to be, and he's not as moral as he proclaims himself to be. And leaked emails show the type of relationship that he has with some of his employees and how he views some of the student body and a lot of things that just were altogether just wrong. And so he's come under fire for that. Matter of factly, students protested the university. And it's rare on the campus of a Christian university, a conservative Christian university, that you will find students protesting school leadership. Now, you find it on a lot of, you know, liberal campuses, and I can think of a number of liberal schools, universities last year where the students all but rioted. I mean, they were making demands, and school administrators were yielding to those demands. And I'm like, man, this is ridiculous. These students believe themselves to be so privileged, and they're coming out the administration, and the administration is yielding to them. I'm like, man, that would not have happened. And it did not happen when I went to school. And trust me, I went to an HBCU. We had plenty to protest about. We had more than enough to protest about. We could protest about just standing in line for hours to get a registration card, to fill it out, to take it somewhere else. I mean, we had plenty to protest about at the HBCU that I went to, and we did not. Or if we did, it was not successful because you only have maybe two or three who are actually bold enough to do it. It's just crazy. But to hear and to see students protesting school leadership on a conservative Christian university campus, I mean, I didn't see it at all. That's just a lot to say in that. And it shows some of the corruption, you know, there's a saying, power corrupts or something like that. I can't think of the saying, y'all know. But anyway, when he was bequeathed, Jerry Falwell Jr. was bequeathed this university largely because of his business acumen. His father knew that he could grow the school, and he did grow the school. And many of those faculty and the school administrators recognized that they are the beneficiaries of what he has done. And now it's just coming to light that, you know, he's doing it by way of his ruthless tactics. And now it's not gangster. I'm not saying he's gangster tactics, but, you know, un-Christian-like. Let me put it that way. And I think the other reason this is really newsworthy is because of Jerry Falwell Jr.'s affiliation and affinity to President Trump. And it's no secret that, you know, he was one of the first ones to jump on the Trump bandwagon shortly after Trump announced that he was running in 2015, and he, along with a few other prominent, particularly Southern Baptist clergy pastors, and have defended President Trump's actions, behaviors, and policies. I mean, I've never seen these guys come out and defend President Obama. I saw them talk about him in a large number of ways, and I've openly said I believe President Trump to be immoral as far as person. There are some policies that have been implemented on his administration that I have completely not agreed with, and there are some that I have agreed with and I have to commend him on. That's just the way politics is. You know, you give good where it's good and disapproval where it needs disapproval. But to see persons like him, like Falwell, adamantly defend Trump no matter what he does. I mean, I think about Newt Gingrich when he was running, and the biggest problem with Newt Gingrich was the fact that he was thrice divorced and had an affair. And you know, to them, that was just completely immoral. It didn't matter how well he served the conservative agenda while he was Speaker of the House and part of all these great conservative movements. It didn't matter. That was irrelevant. This man was unfit for office because of his moral impediments. And now we have someone in office who, by far, is more immoral than Gingrich and many others put together. By far, we know this to be true. We know this to be true, and yet they are adamantly supporting him. And like I said, Falwell is one of his biggest supporters for one reason or another. We don't know. He's benefited from it in some capacity, and however he's benefiting from it, he's benefiting from it. The other thing that came out is that Jerry Falwell Jr. is seemingly using university funds to expand an empire. The Liberty University has gotten into the real estate business, and they've been buying properties and expanding the university. But there are some who are claiming that this expansion is for self-gain. Basically, it's kickback. Falwell is profiting from the expansion of the university. And, you know, I wouldn't doubt that. I would not doubt that at all. It wouldn't surprise me if he's gotten wealthy on behalf of the because of the university. I wouldn't doubt that at all. But, you know, the thing about it is that while this is happening, the students are, it's affecting the students, whether they care to admit it or not, it is affecting the students. The students are in some ways wondering if they've made the right choice. They're wondering, is this, you know, is the whole ideology that has is being promoted by this university worth it? They may not say it, but they're wondering, and there'll be others who it won't affect at all. There's some who are like, I don't care. I knew what this, I knew the political ideation of this university when I came here. I'm just here to get a degree. That'd probably be me. That'd be me. I'd be like, I'm just here to get a degree. That's all. But anyway, but the overall effect of what's going on with Jerry Falwell Jr. is a reflection of all that's happening in on the right side of the political aisle. You have a dominant personality in the person of President Donald Trump, who is seemingly influencing people to behave and interact in ways that they probably normally would not have, or they did not have the means to do so, and now they have the means of doing so because now the person who is they are admiring is doing so without rebuke. And well, what I say, he's getting a lot of rebuke, but it's just kind of rolling off of him. It's not affecting him totally. You know, every new scandal that comes out regarding President Trump, even before he was in any political limelight, it's kind of like rolled off his back. He's really been like the Teflon Don, you know. Really, he has really been like the Teflon Don. Nothing is sticking to him. Nothing is sticking to him, and I suppose that they're assuming the same thing is, you know, trickling down to them. You know, they're untouchable because who they're affiliated with. I don't know. That's neither here nor there. But I do know that, look, something has got to change. That's just the way it is. But I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the second topic that I really want to talk about. And that is Kanye West's Sunday service. And, man, I could tell you, it is what it is. Quick break. Be back right after this.
Have you had issues with your credit and you've been wanting to know what you can do to make it better, make it higher, get better stuff, get more stuff? Well, we have an answer for you. Evelyn's Credit Evolution. That is the answer that we have for you. Evelyn's Credit Evolution offers you real credit repair that's quick and secure. There's no subscription affiliated with it. You only pay when negative items are removed from your report after joining. There's a one-time fee for lifetime enrollment and $25 for every item deleted. Learn more by visiting myfes.net/eRecovery. That's myfes.net/EMCCOVERY. Or give her a call at 662-372-2125. That's Evelyn's Credit Evolution. You'll be glad that you did.
So if you're not aware, I am a very, very curious person. I'm always trying to learn new things. And so I recently learned about Skillshare, and it's opened up so many doors for me on learning how to be a better creative person. I've taken classes on creative writing, on my podcasting, on my YouTube videos, all of that. It has come in handy, and I would strongly recommend you, if you are trying to improve on any skill that you have, and you want to go from being a hobby to make it a pro, I want to invite you to go to Skillshare.com. Skillshare.com is where you can go to learn all kinds of things. They have workshops on everything that you can imagine,
so
photography, videography, writing, anything that you can think of, you can find it on Skillshare. So, and I'm telling you, you're gonna really love it. It's worth every single moment, every single class, and you'll love it. You're great. Greatly enjoy it. Go check it out. Skillshare.com/ZeraTodayRadio.
You're listening to Zera Today with Dr. Lorenzo Neal.
Welcome back to Zera Today with your host, Dr. Lorenzo Neal. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate everybody who is listening, those of you listening by way of YouTube, those of you listening by way of Block Talk Radio, on Facebook, all outlets, wherever you are, we appreciate it. We want to, if you are watching on Facebook, like and subscribe and hit that bell notification for future updates. That's it. if you're watching on YouTube. if you're listening on wherever, hey, thank you so much. We appreciate it. So let's get right back into the topic today. We're going to talk about Kanye West. And I've been talking about Kanye West now the last several months over, you know, period of time. And what's intriguing me about his Sunday service is not so much that it's a Sunday service. What now is intriguing me is that it is becoming mainstream. It is literally becoming mainstream. And he is, by saying what I mean by mainstream, there are churches who are now seeing this as something profitable, potentially profitable. He has been to at least two different churches, one in California, and just recently on Sunday, he was in Atlanta at the New Birth Baptist Church, where the Reverend Dr. Jamal Harrison Bryant is the pastor. He's doing a wonderful job. We're going to talk a little bit more about what Pastor Bryant has rolled out for New Birth Church. Now, I watched the clip, and there's a clip that you can see there on YouTube of the Sunday service, and it's rare because, again, when Kanye West initially began the Sunday service, it was exclusive, invite only, and it was in seclusion, in desert area, and it was mostly for him because, again, the nostalgia of his experience growing up in the black church worship experience. So he has brought that out. He's brought that out. He acclimated to that experience. And Forbes, he talked about his relationship with his mother and growing up in the church. And he talked about how Jesus influenced his branding and merchandising and, you know, and his success is because of Jesus. He talked about that in his interview in the Forbes magazine. And I've done a show about that already. And he's also talked about how his friendship with Chance the Rapper helped him realize that he had to rededicate his life to Christ. And he has come out as being born again. He has stated explicitly that he is a born again Christian. Now, that language is significant because those of us who are evangelicals, we understand what born again means. That means that we have a faith relationship with God by way of the work that he did in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, allowing him to die on the cross and be raised from the dead for the propitiation of our sins, once making a full oblation and sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And we understand that as having acknowledged that, professed that publicly, that we then are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ, heirs of Abraham, all of that stuff, covenant partners with God, and sons, adopted sons and daughters of God. So that's how, in the Christian understanding of what it means to be born again, and you find the textual relationship in John chapter 3, that narrative where Nicodemus comes by night and asks, what must I do? And got to be born again and all of that stuff. You know, I'm just summarizing it, but that's basically it. And so by him saying that he's been born again and that he is a Christian, he has now felt comfortable enough to bring the seclusion and exclusivity of the Sunday service into the mainstream. And in this iteration of it at New Birth Church, not only did he have typical choir that sang, I mean, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I mean, the people could sing. The musicians were on point. And Kanye is just there in the pulpit area just rocking. And you know, he's down in his white, kind of like a messianic figure. And So the experience, as you watch the video, you see the persons who are there. It's a concert slash church service slash fan guest appearance kind of thing. I really don't know how to put it. You know, there's no real way to say what it actually is, other than it's Kanye's stuff. It's Kanye's thing. This is what Kanye has imagined it would be, and apparently, whatever Kanye thinks about and puts in motion comes to be. And it just so happens that it's correlating and coinciding with the release of Kanye's newest album that is titled Jesus is King. And the fact that he has this album coming out that is explicitly what I would call Christian gospel. You know, explicitly. You're putting it in the title. You have tracks on there that are themed religiously, and lyrics. I've listened to a couple of the tracks that were leaked. And, you know, it's explicitly Christian. So the question becomes, is this a publicity stunt? Is it sincere? And why are so many preachers, well, I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to get that into the argument. But so Kanye West is known for stunts. He's done stunts time and time again to promote either his album, his clothing, his whatever it is. He's known to pull a stunt to make it happen, to bring attention to it. Last year, it was meeting with President Trump. Or was it 2017? Meeting with Trump, President Trump, and wearing the MAGA hat. And so he triggered a lot of his friends. Matter of fact, he got disinvited from the cookout for wearing the MAGA hat. And that was leading up to an album that was supposed to have dropped that never did. And this year, all of a sudden, he just allows his wife to leak clips of the Sunday service, knowing full well that her millions of followers were going to be fascinated by it, going to be intrigued by it, and going to want more of it. And that's exactly what happened. They were fascinated by it. They were intrigued by it. They wanted more of it. And he did it more, you know, he did it more. Then it was picked up again by a mainstream festival, Coachella. He performed the Sunday sunrise service on Easter Sunday morning at Coachella. And it then went to a church. Then he went to Ohio. And now he's at New Birth. And, you know, with each appearance has garnered celebrities who have come. And again, celebrities are the same way. They're intrigued by it. They're enjoying the experience, even though they may not fully comprehend all of what it is. But music is universal language. Music is going to move them. They may not care for the lyrics, but they're going to enjoy the music and the experience. And they ain't got to pay for it. It's free. It's free. There's no preaching. There's no tithing going on. There's no money collected. So it was giving them the sense of a church experience without the church experience, you know. And for many young people, that's sufficient. It doesn't take all the. I guarantee you, if some millennials could come to church without the praying, without the hymn singing, if church, I know we still do that. I don't know if a lot of churches still do that, but without the hymns, if they can come and have music like what Kanye presents that is secular and revamped to sound gospel, I mean, I go too, but that's it. That's all they want. Because, like Paul writes, to foreigners, preaching sounds crazy. It sounds insane. You know, they don't care about preaching. And it was very evident, Dr. Ivy Hillier at New Birth, following the concert, gets up and make an appeal to support the ministry of New Birth. And if you're anything familiar with Ivy Hillier, you already know how that goes. You know, when he makes a financial appeal, you know, he's making a financial appeal. And that turned off a lot of folks. That's a meme, a picture of T.I. and Tiny, who were in attendance at this particular service. And again, this was embedded into the regular worship service, as I understand it. This was embedded into the regular worship service of New Bethel. I mean, New Bethel is my church, New Birth. It was embedded into the regular worship service of New Birth. And so there was some some folk uncomfortable. And there's a snapshot of T.I. apparently doing Ivy Hilliard's appeal, just like, man, what? You got to go see it. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. So if many millennials could create a worship experience and church service, it would reflect what Kanye is offering. And I'm not saying Kanye is a minister. I'm not saying Kanye is called to do anything. Kanye is his own enigma. And someone asked, what do I make of this event? And my whole thing was, it's an enigma, because the creator of it is an enigma. You don't know what's in his mind. You don't know why he's doing what he's doing. That's why they call him a genius. You can't figure it. He is on his own level. And all we can do is just go along for the ride. And that's basically all we're doing, is going along for the ride. And what makes this interesting is the fact that he has come to New Birth Church. And if you're not familiar with New Birth Baptist Church, that is the church that was pastored by the late Bishop Eddie L. Long. And not familiar with Bishop Eddie L. Long, he was a prominent pastor there in the Atlanta area, and built that ministry up when he arrived as the pastor in the mid to late 80s. He grew that church from a few hundred folk to nearly 30,000 people, give or take. It depends. And then in 2010, he had a scandal with four young men, accused him of being sexually inappropriate with them. And they settled out of court for millions of dollars. And after that, the ministry started to dwindle, and Bishop Long passed away a couple of years ago. In the interim, they selected another pastor from Birmingham, who was the pastor of a sister church named New Birth. And he came in, and then there was kind of like some infighting between Eddie Long's son, Eddie Long Jr., and the pastor who they had, who he had Bishop Long designated as a successor. And that pastor didn't last too long, and eventually, you know, apparently did the call for ministers, and Dr. Bryant, who is a fellow itinerant elder in the AME Church like myself, who was the pastor of Empowerment Temple AME Church there in Baltimore, Maryland, which he founded in 2000. Jamal Bryant, he establishes that church in 2000, grows it from a couple of hundred people to nearly 10,000 persons there in Baltimore, and he leaves. Matter of fact, he didn't tell anybody, including his members. He did inform the bishop well before his intent. How long? I don't know. It's irrelevant. But anyway, so Pastor Bryant takes over New Birth Church and infuses a little bit more life into it. And Kanye brings his Sunday service to New Birth Church. I keep wanting to say New Bethel. That's my church, you all. If you are in the Jackson metro area, you may come and visit and worship with me, Dr. Neil, at New Bethel AME Church, African Methodist Episcopal Church, 2202 Decatur Street, Jackson, Mississippi. Okay, that's my shameless plug, since I keep saying newbie. Anyway, so he brings that there. And Cheryl, I appreciate you for tuning in. Appreciate you so much. Like, I've been watching your videos, and it's very intriguing. Cheryl, thank you so much. Anyway, so he brings this element of his version of worship to a more prominent black worship church, black church worship experience. And, of course, people are going to come just because it's Kanye. Kanye draws a crowd, and Kanye drew the crowd, as expected. But now Pastor Bryant is using this few moments of attention to draw attention to what he wants to do with New Bethel and expanding his ministry, developing affordable housing, expanding his campus and all kinds of things to better serve the community that they're located. And you gotta applaud them for that. But someone approached me the other day and I said, That's nothing. That's what they're supposed to be doing. That shouldn't be making headlines. It's just making headlines because we're not doing what we did as we used to. You know, the black church is not doing what it used to do. I mean, the black church was usually the center of the community. And from that, you saw the housing development. From that, you saw the politicians birth out of the black church. So it shouldn't be unusual. I know on the scale that he's doing it. I think he said the church was in $30 million debt or something like that. I don't know the details, but trust me, I know what it's like to come to a church where there's debt and you have to not only restore faith in the believers, the community of believers there, on their value and their worth. You have to restore faith in the value and worth of church leadership because they were wronged by the church leadership or they were, you know, something, you know, church hurt, basically. Like, so I completely identify with that. But the only reason it's making news is, again, because the name is New Birth. It is affiliated with Eddie Long and the scandal that was there and all of that. My church and a lot of churches are already doing what he is saying he was doing. Matter of fact, there's a church here in Jackson, Mississippi that has gone beyond its walls. And I mean, if you were to measure the ministry of that local church here, it's blocks. It is not just a block, but it's blocks. Matter of fact, there's several. There, not just one. There are several churches here who are doing things within their communities that are revitalization to that community. So you got to applaud Pastor Bryant for doing that. And I'm quite sure having Kanye come to his church only enhanced the visibility of his ministry. Well, he was already highly visible. He was on the television show, The Preachers. His ex-wife, Giselle, is on one of those Real Housewives shows. Matter of fact, it's rumored that they are back together or they are back together. I don't know. I don't really care. I've known them for a very long time. I've always thought them to be a nice couple. You know, it is what it is. Kanye is finding a way to maximize whatever he's doing. If it's for publicity stunt, he's maximized it because now he's come to a church that most of the black black communities are already familiar with, and he's placed himself there, and that has mainstreamed him and his movement because it is a movement now. You know, Sunday service is a movement now. It's not just something that was in Kanye's head that was exclusive and reclusive. Now it's a movement. Now you're going to be seeing people imitate. Probably, you're going to be seeing people try to imitate what he's doing, and you're definitely going to be seeing more churches opening their doors to it, simply because the value of what he's offering them, exposure. And I don't believe Kanye is being paid for this. I really honestly don't believe. I believe, you know, he may be paying those who are participating. I don't know how it functions. I don't know if they get a local group and perform, or if, as he did with Coachella, flew out those persons who were in. I don't know. I don't know if the church is donating to those people or not. I don't know, but I do know about exposure. And that's the key thing here. Exposure for Kanye, exposure to the young people regarding whatever this is, be it an authentic move of God. And as in Acts, when the people, the Jews came to one of their leaders and they said, these people are doing all of this, we've got to stop them. He said, why should we stop them? If it's from God, let it be. God will take care of it if it's not. And that's my approach to this. It, you know, and Donnie McClurkin has released a statement about this also. And I'm along the lines from what I've gathered. I've only heard summaries. I have not seen the whole statement or video response or whatever it is from Donnie McClurkin. But the thing about it is, whatever it is, it is. Whatever it is, it is. And in this moment, it's reinvigorating a lot of people to revisit their faith, or revisit their, the way they see faith or the church or faith communities. And, you know, that in the long term is more beneficial, or and definitely in the short term, definitely more beneficial, particularly for those churches where it's been. In California, at the Campbell's Church and at New Birth, is definitely more beneficial for them. The exposure, that folk are going to come because now they know big time celebrities come to this church. So I want to be where the celebrities are. I want to get famous. It's sad, but it's true. Anyway, so more power to Kanye. More power to Pastor Bryant. More power to all people who are trying to change lives. That's all I'm saying. People are trying to change lives. And I honestly believe Kanye is just trying to change lives. However he's going about doing it, I ain't going to try to get into that. But what I do know is if he is experiencing what he says he's experiencing it, he's doing what we are commanded to do, go out and make disciples. He didn't say the method of doing so, the means of doing so. He just said, go and make disciples. And I don't want to see him baptizing. Let us do the baptizing. But bring others into the fold of Christ, or help others discover a path to enlightenment, or, you know, whatever it may be, whatever path they are on that they may be discovering, or whatever it may be. It's always good that they can do that. And Kanye's Sunday service is certainly doing that for a lot of folk. It's invigorating. And I tell you, the music, I'd go just for the music. I'd go just for the music. You know, being that I was a former, you know, I played for churches. And I know what it's like to be a church musician. I go just for the music. But anyway, listen, I wanted to take this moment for, again, to thank you all for listening to me. I want to invite you, if you are watching by YouTube, that you will take the time to like my video, like this video, subscribe to this channel, and also hit the bell for notifications. And if you would like to support me, I want to invite you to support me on Patreon, Lorenzo T. Neal on Patreon also. And support us in everything we do. We're trying to build our channel. We're trying to present quality programming to you guys, and I just enjoy doing it. And any way you do us, help us, it's great. If you're listening by Block Talk Radio, go follow us on there. Any way you do it, we appreciate it. We're so grateful for you. So I got to get out of here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Until next time, this is Dr. Lorenzo Neal. You guys have a wonderful day. And remember to be empowered, engaged, and liberated.
I'm